I be sure that I am a Christian? How can you be sure that you are a Christian? How can you know that you know? This is one of the most important questions you can ever answer in your life, because it is foundational to your life and your growth as a Christian. Without the peace of mind that God loves you and that you are a child of God, you will never feel secure. You'll always be tempted to doubt your faith. You will fear that you are never going to be good enough, and you will worry that you might lose your faith. Tonight, I want you to be able to answer this question once and for all. So I invite you to turn with me to the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to look at it together, and you may like to follow on the outline as well. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. John writes, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. I write these things being these things that I've just written about, the preceding verses." The Apostle John uses the word know 40 times in 5 chapters. Why? Because the Lord wants us to know that we know that we know him. That we know our sins are forgiven, that we know we've been adopted to his family, that we know we have eternal life, that we know that we will be with God forever. Well, how can we know that we know? Well, in the preceding verses, verses 1 to 12, John gives us 3 tests. And you either pass all 3 tests tonight, or you will fail at least one of them, and then we can have a conversation over coffee afterwards. Because I don't want you to leave tonight without passing all 3 tests, okay? And I'm going to give you the answers, so it's not going to be a hard test. The first is the lordship test. The lordship test. 1 John 5, verse 1a. "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Now, what John is saying here is that if you've been born again, you believe that Jesus is the Christ. If you have not been born again, you won't believe Jesus is the Christ. So, working back, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you have assurance that you've been born of God. So let me ask you, do you believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God, the Son of the living God? Do you believe he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus? As you read the Bible, as you read the gospel narrative, are you convinced by the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled? Are you convinced by the testimony of the eyewitnesses who saw Jesus? Are you convinced by his miracles, by his teaching, above all by his resurrection? Because in John's eyewitness account of the life of Jesus, he says this in John chapter 20, "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So, do you believe the evidence? You see, faith is not believing in spite of the evidence. Faith is believing because of the evidence. Does the evidence that John has given us in the gospel convince you? Does it compel you to put your trust in Jesus? Because if you believe in Jesus, then you will have received him. John 1, verse 12. "Yet all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, if you really believe in Jesus, you will respond to Jesus' call and welcome him into your life. That's what a Christian is. A Christ follower is someone who has a living relationship with God through Jesus. It's not about going to church. It's not about trying to be good. It's important to remember that this is the work of God. We're saved by his grace, not our good works. It is by grace you've been saved, past tense, through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. That's why John writes, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So, the first test, the lordship test, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God? Yes or no? If you're not sure, let's have coffee afterwards. First test, do you believe Jesus is the Savior? Second test, the family test. Same verse. And second part, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. John speaks about this, he spoke about this a lot more in chapter 4, which is why he doesn't go into detail here in chapter 5. In chapter 4, he said this: whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love his brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he's given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. You see, it's called a family test because when we trust in Christ, we are born again. But we are born again into a family, God's family. There are no Christian orphans. It's abnormal for a Christian not to be part of a church family. It's unhealthy for a Christian not to be part of a church family. See, when we are born again, we are born into his family. Now, what John is saying here is, if the lordship test is invisible, I can't tell whether you've passed that test. The family test is visible. So whenever I meet someone in the village and they work out who I am and they say, I'm a Christian, but I know what they're going to say. They're going to say, but I don't go to church. Meaning, I haven't got time for church. I don't see the point of church. It's irrelevant to me. What matters is I have my beliefs. I'm a good person. If the lordship test is about loving God, the family test is about loving God's children. And you can't do one without doing the other. So, who is your family? Who are your closest friends? Who do you look to for advice? You know, in the scriptures, we're commanded to respect and obey our parents. We are commanded to love our biological family. But when Jesus' own family disapproved of him, they thought he'd been out in the sun too long and that he'd gone mad, they came to take him away, it says in Mark chapter 12. They came literally to take him away. And so the disciples said, excuse me, Jesus, your family are outside. And he said this: who is my mother and who are my brothers? Pointing to the disciples, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. You may be blessed with a biological family that love Jesus, that are part of a church family. You may be praying for members of your natural family who have yet to trust in Jesus. Don't give up praying for them. But you may have members of your family that have rejected Jesus, and because they've rejected Jesus, they've rejected you. Well, then you have a challenging decision to make. The model of Jesus here is that if our natural family rejects us, then we have the assurance of a spiritual family that will care for us. And even in the church, sometimes relationships with fellow believers are challenging. And the reason for that is that we are challenging and we bring baggage with us. And that's why the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity." This is how a church family should operate. So when you wake up on a Sunday, who do you want to be with most? Do you see Christ Church as your natural spiritual family? If not, is there another church that you see as your spiritual family? Do you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you know them? Do you look forward to being with them, hanging out with them after the services? Are you protective of them? Are you praying for them? Is being part of a church family important to you? Yes or no? The lordship test, invisible. The family test, very visible. The lordship test is Jesus, your Lord and Savior. The family test, are you part of a church family? Third test, the paternity test. The paternity test, verse 2 to 5. This is how we know that we love the children of God. You see, it was loving God through Jesus, loving the family, and then this is how we know that we love the family of Jesus, because we love Jesus. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Do you see how these three tests flow? They develop. So the question is, do people see the family likeness in you, in me, in us? Do they look and say, you've got your father's eyes? You see, being a Christian is not about being a new me, it's about having a new motivation. Change of heart, not a change of body. The question is, do I want to please my Father in heaven, or do I want to please myself? It's not about attaining perfection, but it is about making progress. That's why being part of a Bible study group, part of a fellowship group, is essential if we want to grow in Christ. We need to spend time with one another, learning about how to apply our faith as single people, as married couples, as parents, and so on. John says, if we believe in Jesus and we love his family, we will obey the commands of God. And in so doing, we have overcome the world. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're in the world, but we're no longer shaped and controlled by its values. The Apostle Paul put it like this in Philippians chapter 3. He said, not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I don't consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Do you feel that Christ has called you heavenward? Are you forgetting what was behind? Are you pressing on toward that which is ahead? Can you identify with Paul in his motivation? Is that your heartbeat? The desire to become more like Jesus every day? If so, then you've passed the third test. Three simple tests of Christian assurance. The Lordship test: is Jesus your Lord and your Savior? The family test: do you love your church family? Are you part of a church family? And then the paternity test: does the family likeness appear in me? It's my heart's desire to please my Father and obey his word. That's verses 1 to 10. And we come back to that verse 11. This is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. If you knew that you were going to die tonight, would you know that you have eternal life? Before I became a Christian, I used to go to church occasionally, and I read the Bible very occasionally, and I hung around with Christian friends. But I remember vividly someone saying that they had eternal life, and I said, "You're arrogant. No one can know that they have eternal life. I hope." But that's because I hadn't read passages like this. It's because I hadn't put my trust in Jesus Christ. So, let's look at this passage and let's answer seven questions. Seven questions. I'm going to give you the answers, but you've got to find them for yourself first. This is the passage. Okay? You've got it on the outline. Here are the questions. According to this passage, where is eternal life to be found? Is it in the church? Is it... where is it? Eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. Yes? This life is in his Son. Okay, so first question: where is eternal life found? It is found in Jesus Christ and no one else. Second question: if you have Jesus Christ in your life, what else do you have? Eternal life. Why? Because eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. Okay? You got it. Eternal life is found in Jesus. If you have Jesus, you have eternal life. Third question: can a person know that they have eternal life? Yes or no? Yes. You can know that you have eternal life. Fourth question: on what basis? Because you feel it? Because you've earned it? Because you deserve it? No. Answer: because God says so. I write this to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. A person can know that they have eternal life on the basis of the authority of God's word. Question 5: do you know that you have eternal life? Do you know that you have eternal life. Question 6, on what basis? Because you feel it? Because you've earned it? Because you deserve it? Or because you've trusted in Jesus, and God's word says that if you trust in Jesus, love his family, obey his commands, you have the assurance, the Holy Spirit will give you that assurance, that you have eternal life. And the last question, do you have that assurance of salvation? Do you have assurance of salvation? You see, our assurance that we are saved is based on the authority, on the truth, the trustworthiness of God's word. Not our feelings. God cannot lie. God has spoken the truth. Our assurance is therefore ultimately on the basis of what God has spoken about us. Now you may feel this is incredibly basic. But you know, the Reformation was fought over this very issue. Because before the Reformation, if this church had been here 400 years ago and there had been a priest here, the instructions he would have had from the church was never to give you assurance, because you could only have assurance on the basis that you took communion, that you confessed your sins, that you kept the fast days, you kept the feast days, and a whole lot of other burdens. Even this week, the Pope has said that you will have time off in purgatory if you follow his tweets. Well, unfortunately, it's not true, because there's no purgatory. There's either heaven or hell, and reading the Pope's tweets is not going to impact your eternal destiny. But what you think of Jesus will. Before the Reformation, religion was all about works and fear and insecurity and rules and indulgences, which were very expensive. The Reformation was all about putting the Word of God in the language of the people and teaching them about Jesus and trusting in Jesus and recognizing everyone in the church as equal, as brothers and sisters in Christ, and that salvation and assurance of eternal life, the throne rights of the child of God on the basis of God's Word, grace through faith and not good works. Jim Packer's book, Knowing God, transformed my life nearly 40 years ago. And I cannot recommend it to you more highly. If you haven't got this book, then sell your shirt to buy it. Buy it and read it. Digest it. It's one of the most important Christian books ever written. In Knowing God, Jim has a chapter on being a child of God. And he writes this, and you have it in your outline. To help us realize more adequately who and what, as children of God, we are and are called to be, here again are some questions by which we would do well to examine ourselves again and again. Do I understand my adoption? Do I value it? Do I daily remind myself of the privilege as a child of God? Have I sought full assurance of my adoption? Do I dwell on the love of God for me? Do I treat God as my Father in heaven, loving, honoring, and obeying him, seeking and welcoming his fellowship, and trying in everything to please him? Do I think of Jesus, my Savior and my Lord, as my brother, bearing to me not only a divine authority, but a divine human sympathy? Do I think daily how close he is to me, how completely he understands me, and how much, as my kinsman redeemer, he cares for me? Have I learned to hate the things that displease my Father? Am I sensitive to the evil things to which he is sensitive? Do I make a point of avoiding them, lest I grieve him? Do I look forward daily to that great family occasion when the children of God will finally gather in heaven before the throne of God their Father and of the Lamb their brother and their Lord? Have I felt the thrill of this hope? Do I love my Christian brothers and sisters with whom I live day by day in a way that I shall not be ashamed of when in heaven I think back over it? Am I proud of my Father and of his family, to which by his grace I belong? Does the family likeness appear in me? Do I, as a Christian, understand myself? Do I know my own real identity, my own real destiny? And then in that chapter, he makes this very simple but profound statement about what it means to be a Christ follower. And I invite you to read it, reflect upon it, and even memorize it. I am a child of God. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one day nearer. My Savior is my brother. Every Christian is my brother too. Every Christian is my brother and my sister too. Jim says in his book, say it over and over to yourself, first thing in the morning, last thing at night, as you wait for the bus, any time your mind is free, and ask that you may be enabled to live as one who knows it to be utterly and completely true. For this is the Christian secret. A happy life? Yes, certainly, but something higher and more profound. This is the Christian secret of the Christian life, of a God-honoring life. May this secret be fully yours and fully mine. This evening, we've asked the question, how can I be sure I am a Christian? And we've looked at three simple tests. The lordship test, the family test, and the paternity test. I hope you have been able to answer that question for yourself, for sure and forever. If you are unsure, then let's talk about it afterwards. But if you are sure, I invite you to pray with me now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of knowing you, of being adopted into your family. Thank you, my Creator and Sustainer, for making me your child and for adopting me into your family. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross in my place to take away my sin and give me the gift of eternal life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the assurance that you will never leave me and will help me grow to become more like Jesus every day. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.